Testing 1, 2, 3, okay. It was working. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm blessed that I can have this opportunity to study the God's word with you. And before I start, I have to make a confession first. So as you said, first we need to congratulate Pastor Scott. I just don't want to get the feedback, okay? First, we want to congratulate Pastor Scott that, now he got another child. We want to congratulate. I hope that you have some sleep. Well, no? Okay. So you're still awake and then be able to function. But I have to make a confession, okay? So a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago, Heather told me that, hey, you be prepared. You could be the backup person for preaching for this Sunday because, you don't never know when the baby's going to come. So I took that and I said, okay, yeah, and then he told, and Pastor Scott told me that, Christina's, the delivery day is supposed to be a couple of days later, like the end of the year, right, remember? So I said, oh, okay. So I was kind of like, okay, man, it's just not maybe, the chance for me to come up here and preach is pretty slim. So I do have that in the back of my mind, but then just think about what I need to preach, and then And then I came to this passage while I was doing Bible study. But I said, okay, this is a difficult passage to preach. But then I said, okay, I had this in mind, but the chance for me to come up here to preach is pretty slim. So I said, okay, in case I have to do that, I'll submit to myself. But back of my mind, I was thinking, nah, I don't have to be up here. And then last week, and I asked Pastor Scott, and he told me that, yeah, I already prepared a sermon, and so I'm ready to go, just in case if something happens, then you may be up here. So I was like, oh, cool, I'm happy. And Wednesday, when they're preparing the bulletin, and then I saw the title from what Pastor Scott's supposed to preach, I said, yes, I don't have to come here. But then after that, on Thursday, I thought, everything changed. And then it's you're up. So, but then I have to say, I submit, okay, Lord, this is something that to God, and I would submit to God and say, Lord, this is something that maybe that's God wants us to study together. So that's why I said, okay. But I have to tell you that I didn't, I have to cramp and try to, to study the passage well and be able to study with you together. So, thank you for giving me this chance to study this with you. Okay? So, let's begin. How was your Christmas holiday? Great? Yeah. So, I saw a lot of brothers and sisters, from the Facebook account, I saw so many activities. Indeed, the Christmas season is a joyful time that we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. And also we have time to be together with friends and family. Those are the times that we can enjoy our family times together. Many of our brothers and sisters, indeed, and majority of the people, are having a good time together and have time to have fun with the family members. I saw a lot of pictures of, people going to different dinners and they exchange gifts. I don't know how many family pictures, like a big group of of people, taking pictures together. And that's joyful, and that is the blessing that God gives to us. And I also saw a lot of food pictures. I mean, we like to share food, right? I mean, and myself, I have my brother came back from New York. Throughout this week, I was busy with, to play with my brother's two little kid, and they're very adorable, and we enjoyed our time together. And I had time to go to three different dinners, okay, to just the outings with all the family members. You know why I have to put my coat on? Just to hire some of the fat that I gained in the last couple of days. And we are so blessed living in the United States. And just by looking at the picture, we can see, man, we can enjoy the food from different places, buffet, all kinds of different variety of food. And we can share this with our family members comfortably and peacefully and enjoying the time. Also, do you realize that today is the last Sunday of 2015? Time passed so fast. And during the last, last month of the year, a lot of the companies, they will, at the end of the year, normally, what were they going to do? They have to, calculate, how well do they do? I mean, how was their performance? Based on how much they make, the revenue and the profit, they will have to calculate, okay, how much do I make? And how much of bonus or raise I can give it to the employees, right, if you're the boss. So many companies will usually, at the end of the year, they also will do some companies, employees' performance review. So if you're an employee of a company, what will you wish, right? You wish that your company is doing really well, right? They make a lot of money, and you hope that, hey, hopefully I can get a raise and a bonus so that I can, use those money to share, or to buy a gift for myself, or I can share it with my family members, right? So if you're an employee, you would think about that. But if you're a boss, or you're a company's manager, if you're in management's position, then you may be very busy in the last month, right? Because you have to take the time to review your workers' performance. You have to do the companies that I was in. We have to do performance reviews. And what is a performance review? I mean, you have to base on the employee's performance. How well did he do? What did he do the last year? And then you have to make the decision based on the performance and decide, what kind of raise or bonus you need to give to them. Or in the other way, that if you're disappointed with the performance, then you have to act accordingly. In the worst case, then what will happen? For an employee that doesn't perform well at all, or that, part of the process of doing the performance that you have to ask around. You have to ask the coworkers, you have to ask the customers, how well is your employee performing? So you can use all this information and come up with a decision. Either this person is doing well or this person is not doing too well. And then at the end, you either give them a raise or you do something else, like a punishment or some action that you need to do. In the worst case, then you might have to even let go of the employee, okay? And depends on how drastic it is. Some people, when they fire a person, they'll just say, you need to just pick up all your stuff and here's your last check and good luck, right? Some company does that when he's trying to lay off someone. Or someone is more lenient and just telling the person that, hey, you probably have 2 weeks' notice. Just finish up all your stuff that you do, and then we just give you a couple of weeks to wrap up everything you're doing, and that's the end of your employment. So today we're going to study a parable, Luke 16. We just read, Brother Joseph just read. It's talking about a manager. He's not that lucky. He's not the one that is performing really well, but he is actually going to be let go by his boss. So I'm not going to repeat the whole, but just in the first couple of, the first two verses that we learn from it is saying that Jesus is actually teaching his disciples, okay, in this parable. He's saying, there's a rich man who is the manager, and he's in charge of the things that from that rich man, but the boss actually heard something from someone, I don't know, but it didn't give in details. But then someone actually reporting to the boss that this guy, this manager, is actually wasting his possession, wasting the money, and then he has to call in this manager and tell him that, hey, what is this? How come I hear this from whoever, maybe his coworkers or maybe his customers. And then he's saying that, turn in all your accounts of your management because you can no longer be my manager. So one thing we kind of noticed that the boss didn't, saying that immediately you have to just give up everything. But it seems like, he's pretty generous, and then maybe he has to be good, right? I mean, the manager power needs to be good to start with, so that's why the boss trusted him to give him that position to do. And maybe then we may think that the boss is, yeah, he's lenient. He just want to make sure that, you know, this person just, you know, go back and make sure all his accounts is good and turn in all the stuff to him before he let him go. So one thing we know that, you know, this manager is actually trusted by his master to take care of his possession. The parable didn't say that, you know, how much wealth this boss has, or is the manager actually taking care of all his possessions, or is just part of it? We don't know. But we just know that he has that authority and to take care of his master's possessions. If you think about this in, you know, in present term, just think about it. This guy is just a manager. Maybe he's like a senior manager of a company, and he was granted from the company, the CEO, a business account. Okay, so, and he needs to manage, he was doing this, he was managing the business activities. So, and then we continue to the next slide, and then we read on, and then we realize the manager said to himself, oh no, I'm fired. What should I do? Since the master is taking the management away from me, I'm not strong enough to dig, I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do. So, that when I'm removed from management, people may receive me into the house. The manager, you know, before, he probably didn't realize a lot of things because he has the power. He was granted some authority that he can take care of the possessions of his boss, right? So think about, you know, how you have a business account. If you're a manager, you have a business account, you have to manage the business. And then you most likely have a business account that you can spend on the things that you need to spend, right? As an example, I mean, a few years ago, I was hired by a communication company to go to one of, not the customer, one of his vendors, providers, and I need to go and to make sure they whatever they produce and sell it to this communication company, they are actually doing a good job of it. And my task was to make sure those people are doing a good job, and I have to check them on all the stuff that they do. So I was actually working for this communication company, and the people that I need to look at are the customer, is the vendor, right? And then my company that hires me, the company that's hiring me is actually their customers. So at that time, when I go there, when I go to the company, actually it's in China, I have to stay there. But those people treat me really nice, right? Because I'm the customer. I'm representing their customers and business. So they give me a lot of stuff. They actually have a chauffeur ready for me. And then I was staying in, you know, the nicest hotel that provided. And then the company that I work for, they give me a spending account, so I can, you know, spend, you know, up to $80 to $100 per day on things that and food only. But the customers, the place that I have to, you know, to make sure and to watch over, they actually have a tour guide assigned to me, so that they and a chauffeur that just take me to anywhere that I want to eat. And then I was treated just like a king. But do you know why that was happening? You know, I'm not anybody special. But at that time, I was actually representing the company that hired me. So those people that are actually, you know, they see the importance of not me, not myself, but it's because the boss and the company behind me, which is the one that hired me, and they treated me really well because at that time I had the authority to say their work is good or not, and that's a big deal, right? Because if I say no, then they cannot sell their stuff to the communication company. This is exactly the same thing. This manager is actually doing the same thing. He has the authority. Normally, before, he has the authority that he can call the shots. You know, he's actually taking care of the business for this boss. But one thing, and he didn't realize that how much power he had. And Maybe that's why he was not, you know, he wasn't not using his power accordingly, and he started wasting, you know, he probably spending too much money for himself. We don't know. They didn't say that. But one thing that we realize after that, you can go to the next slide, something that this manager didn't realize before, but now he knows, which is, first is that his resource, his wealth, and his power does not belong to him. It actually belongs to his boss. And he also, and all of a sudden he realized, he may not care much before, that he has a boss, he has a real boss, because before, you know, he was the one calling the shots. And then also, he realized that now he has limited time because he just got fired. And one thing we just read, that he also knew what is his strength and what is his weakness. In this passage, he's saying that, hey, I cannot dig. I'm old. I don't have the skill to dig. And it's too ashamed to beg. Maybe this guy, you know, it's just in the parable, maybe he doesn't really think that he has to beg, right? But if he is in that position, he might have some money for themselves. But it didn't say that. But he does know what is his weakness. He cannot, you know, do heavy labor. But he does know what is his strength. So this manager was really smart. Okay, we can read along. So what did he do? So he just called, and he knew that his time is limited. But then he summoned all his master's debtors, right? The people that owns him money, the ones that actually are doing business with his master. He called all of them together and say, hey, I'm not going to go there. How much, the first guy, he said, how much do you owe your master? And then the first guy said, I owe you guys 100 measure of oil. Based on the commentary, it says that this 100 measure of oil is equivalent to maybe 2 to 3 years of the wages. And then this manager say, okay, cut it in half. Okay, so and then he right there, he's using his, you know, his authority just to give 50% off to this person. And then the next one, then he asked the other guy and say, hey, how much do you owe your my master? And he said, how much do you owe? He didn't say master. And then he said, 100 measure of wheat. And according to the commentary, it says that's about 10 years of wages. So it's a much larger amount. And then he said, okay. And then he's using his authority and say, 20% off. And then what he's doing, what is he doing, right? He's just using his power, his relation, and be very smart and preparing himself so that when he no longer has, you know, his job, then he can have relationship. Maybe he can work for one of the customers, or we don't know. But just think about, you know, as a equivalent, like those political figures, such as the governors and the congressmen. While they're in power, you know, they make a lot of friends, right? So they provide a lot of government grants and things to the people that they make, you know, friends of. Of course, right? If they are a good manager, doing management, they will make sure those companies are indeed legit, right? But then the relationship is established so that those congressmen, those political figures, when they no longer, you know, work for the government, they could work for the companies. You see how clever they are, okay? So now we go into the next verse. Here comes the confusing part. Then we read this passage and said, the master commended this dishonest manager for his shrewdness, okay? And then he says, the first son of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of the light. This is the confusing part. So, of this parable, and saying, why does the master want to say good things about this dishonest manager? Is Jesus telling us that it's okay to be dishonest? But But one thing that when we are reading the parables, we have to be careful when we're looking at the parable. We need to focus on the main idea of the parable and not just to look into all the details and ask questions. For example, like one of the previous chapters, right? I mean, one of the parables Jesus told us is about the woman, right? She lost his corn, and then lost, you know, she has 100 corns and she lost a corn, and then she found it later on, and then she go and call all her friends and relatives and tell them, you know, at night saying, "Hey, I find my corn. If you think about logically, what in the world, the lady, you know, at the middle of the night, you find a corn, you have to tell everybody that, you know, I find my corn. But the theme for that parable was that you need to, because the important part is that you want to care for the lost soul, right? It's important. Every person is important. But the details of the story is not the main point. So in this focus, in this verse, we need to focus on what the master is commanded. He's not saying that it's okay for the manager to, you know, be dishonest, but he is commanded on his shrewdness. How he knows that this manager is smart. He knows his strength, and he knows his weakness, and he knows about his capability and what he has as the resource. And then he can use this wisely to prepare for his future. So the important part, and then following, that's the teaching. Oh, no, not yet, I'm sorry. It says that the son of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the... So Jesus made a teaching comment and saying that, hey, we need to learn, not being dishonest, but learn to be wise. You need to be shrewd in dealing and the things, the eternal things. Because they're saying that the son of the world is smarter than the son of light. Who are the son of light? Son of light is all the Christians, right? All the ones that is the children of God. So he is commenting that the children of God has to be the same way. We need to be shrewd to deal with the eternal things and preparing for our eternal lives. How you need to be using your resource wisely and prepare for the future. Okay, you can go to the next one. So, and then after that, now Jesus finished telling the parable and then he started teaching. He started telling the disciples a couple more things that we need to learn. Okay, so it says that, and I tell you, make friends with yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you in the eternal dwellings. And this is another confusing part. You know, dishonest is already bad. And then here it's saying that, you know, you need to use the unrighteous wealth to make friends. What does that mean? So we need to know, what is unrighteous wealth? So unrighteous wealth is something that, if it's in the definition, I was just looking it up in Google too. It's things that is unjust. And things, actually, well, that does not really belong to you. So I give you an example. If one day you're going to, you come to work, and this is just actually a true example. We come to work, and then you are in the parking lot. You also, all of a sudden, you saw a few hundred dollars on the ground. Then you picked it up. So are those money yours? Well, I mean, if nobody come and claim it, yeah, it could be mine. Or you can just report it to the police, all right? But that money is actually not belong to us. So I just want to make it fast. So here, Jesus is telling us, hey, do you realize the money that you have, the wealth, the resource, and things that you have, it doesn't belong to you. Who does it belong to? Originally. boss, right? A master. So things that we can have is all because of the grace and blessings from God. So Jesus is telling us that we need to use the money is provided by the boss to make friends. You need to make friends so that you can secure, you can, when those money becomes not useful anymore, then you can receive your eternal dwellings. Just think about the money, the resource, the fame, the power that we have in this world. It's not going to last. And those things are not really ours anyways. We are just a steward. Just those things are given to us by God. So who are those friends? So Jesus mentioned that we need to use those unrighteous money to make friends. So those friends are actually the people that are in need and lost. We'll see that in the explanation later and in the parables that Jesus emphasized that too. So, and keep going. And then later on, Jesus continued to say a few more things that we need to learn from it. Right? He's saying that one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is going to be dishonest in much. So the first thing he's saying, are you faithful in the resource that you have on little things? So let's just give you an example of, when we go to the Japanese restaurant, right? You see the sushi chef, the one that, I'm talking not the buffet one, but the one that's really, managed by the Japanese people. They have a knife and they're the one that's cutting the sushi. You know how long does it take that person to be able to take the knife and cut the sushi and prepare for the customer? It takes a few years. All of them, they need to start with the lowest position. They have to learn how to clean, and they need to learn how to, wash the dishes. They need to learn how to, wash the rice and cook the rice first. And it takes a long time. And because the sushi chef, they think that, being in that position is a very, is very important, right? They have very high esteem. They want to make sure, the Japanese cook chef, they want to make sure you know every single detail of the process before they give you the chance to actually use the knife. So here, Jesus is telling us that if you are faithful in little things, then you'll be faithful on the big things. So we have to ask ourselves, are you faithful in serving in our church, in the church, and serving God? Are you maybe some of the stuff that is very little, okay? Maybe just preparing the bulletins or just greeting and welcoming the people, or even just pick up little trash. But are you serving God faithfully? Jesus is telling us that we need to be faithful in dealing with little things so that we can be prepared to do big things. Another thing that he said was, if then you had not been faithful in unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? And here it says that the resource, the things that God granted to you, are you using it wisely? Are you using it honestly? Are you wasting the resource that God gave to you, your talents, your gifts that giving to you, and you're wasting it just like the manager for your own gain? And then also it says that, and if you have not been faithful in that is which is in others, who will give you the which is in your own? It seems like Jesus is kind of telling us that in our in the eternal life in heaven, we are going to manage something on our own. And then also here, it also emphasized that, you know, the unrighteous wealth is something that belongs to others, that doesn't belong to you. So are you actually obeying Jesus' teaching and using the talents, the resources, and things that he granted to you faithfully to serve others? Everything that you make, whether it's money or you gain something, some honor, do you first remember to honor our God first, which is the one that providing everything to us? Do you actually obey God's command to use the resource that we have to help the poor and needy and the one that are lost? There's something that we all have to think about. So, and then continue to verse 13. It continues to Jesus to teach us that no servant can serve two masters, for either he will be hated the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and serve money or mammon. So here Jesus is telling us that do you know who is the real master? Who is the one that actually providing everything to you? Resources, talent, opportunity, the place that you are in, the things that you can have an opportunity to learn. Who is the provider? Someone say that money is a great tool for us to use, but it is a horrible master. So every one of us needs to think, are we serving our Lord or are we serving money or fame or talent or just an honor? Some people, because of they want to make more money, resources, they will cheat on the family. They will cheat on their friends and also cheat on God. So we have to ask ourselves, are we really a shrewd manager, a steward, that using what's given from God, the resources that he gives to us, or we are just being controlled by the worldly resources? Okay, so when we keep on looking, and then in the other passage that Jesus taught us in the Matthew chapter 6:19, he says that, just in the verse 21, he says that let me read the whole thing. Do not lay up for yourself treasure on earth where moths and rust destroys, where thieves break and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth or rust can destroy, where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart also. Jesus is telling us that, where do you put your importance on where your treasure is? That's where your heart's. So we need to examine ourselves where we are. We continue to study and move on to Luke chapter 16. We go to 14. We're going to go fast. Then he talks about the Pharisees. And then we're going to read that. The Pharisees, who were lover of money, heard all these things and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, this is an important part, you are those who justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart, for what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So what? And then he talks about, then all after that, then Jesus saying that the law of the prophet did not pass away. And then if you're committed adultery, if you marry a divorced woman, then you actually committed adultery. I'm not going to skip that. But what is an important part that we need to look at is the first part. Is in verse 15. It says that you are those who justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart. Jesus is actually is telling the Pharisees that you guys are self-righteous person, and then you're justifying yourself before men. And you can go to the next slide. Another one. I just went. Next one. Okay. So, do you know this news? I mean, I guess everybody knows, right? On December 1st, 2015, you know, the Facebook CEO, Mark and Priscilla, they announced to the world, they're saying that they're going to pledge and donate $45 billion of their Facebook stock for charity, right? And when we hear that news, then a lot of people are saying, wow, this guy is very generous and great. And he's going to be marked in the history that the history is going to record him as the one of the one that making the most one-time money pledge to the human history. So he will be marked in the history as the most generous person in the world. So indeed, yeah, this, I mean, Mark, he's doing, you know, he's doing great deeds, right? He's being really generous and donate a lot of money for charities. And it's a good thing. It's great. But then everybody knows about this. And then he gets to go into the history that he is the most generous person. What is, then, let's just read you can go to the next slide. But the Bible teaches a different standard. And then just from the previous passage, it said that the Pharisees were they are trying to justify themselves before men, but God knows your heart. And in the law of Moses, is in the Deuteronomy chapter 14, it says that the Bible teaches us that we need to tithe so that we may learn to fear Lord your God always. And also in Matthew chapter 6:1, Jesus teaches a different standard. He's saying, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrite do in the synagogue and in the street, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, next one, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Again, going back to before in Matthew chapter 16, as chapter 6:19, it says that don't lay your treasures on the ground, but lay your treasure in heaven. So Jesus is teaching us a different standard. When you want to give, you need to give it in secret so that you are actually laying treasures in heaven. Okay, we continue that. Going down to the Luke chapter, and then remember I said that Jesus emphasizes who are those friends that we need to be to make friends with, and then we go into Luke chapter 16 verses 19 to 20 to 31. This passage is a more famous passage. A lot of people probably read that. It's talking about a rich man and who is clothed in purple, fine linen, he's always, you know, doing feasts. And then there's another person, a poor man named Lazarus. And he was covered with sores. And then, but these two guys, they die. Okay, so the Lazarus, that this poor man, he was, someone actually brought him to the rich man's table. The gate, and the front of the gate, and he has nothing to eat, and he was, you know, he was covered with sores, and it says that the dog actually came and licked his wounds, and we're seeing two different contrasts. We're seeing a rich man that he's spending, you know, a lot of his wealth in in nice clothes. If you want to, you know, think about it, is this person is just like, this guy is wearing all those purple fine linen. It's like you're the guy that he's spent all his, he's wearing all this name brand, you know, and driving nice cars, and also eating different, you know, things every day. But then he doesn't care about the person. There's that one guy named Nazareth that has nothing to eat. Then if you know about the story, and then they both die, and then at the end, then the poor man is actually in the bosom. I'm not going to read that. In the bosom of Abraham, and then he's actually having a good time. And then the rich man at the end, then he went to Hades, and he has to suffer from without even a drop of water. And then if you look at the passage, it's saying that he's asking Moses to give, you know, ask Nazareth to, you know, just give him a drop of water so to quench his thirst. But then, and also he asked Moses to, you know, send Nazareth to tell his brothers, so not to, you know, be able to care for the poor. But then Abraham told, saying that here is that, you know, that he has the words from the law from Moses already. They should know what they need to do. So when we see that and said, wow, does that mean that we cannot, you know, have fun? We cannot, being a Christian, we cannot have nice things? And we cannot have feasts with the family? No, right? So if we look at Deuteronomy 14, that chapter, if you have time going home and start reading it, Jesus actually, I mean, the law is saying that God wants to bless you with things. And they're talking about the things that the people earn, they can actually share with the family members in front of God, and then have joyful feasts together and celebrate. And this is something that God is granted to his people. But then it also says that, but while you're doing that, you still have to remember the Levites, and also for those who are poor, and those are widows and people that have no place to stay. So it's okay. This is something that we can do, but make sure we need to also remember the poor and needy. Okay, so keep going, and then I'm trying to finish. The Bible also tells us in different places that we have to give account to God at the end. Just like the parable says in verse 2, the manager has to, you know, give accounts back to his boss, all the stuff that he did. So I'm not going to say it because of time. Now, Matthew chapter 25, it talks about at the end of the times, we're going to have to face Jesus, and we're going to have a judgment day. And then the important parts in here, it says that, I'm just going to read the first part. Okay. When the Son of Man came into glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. He will separate people from one another as shepherds, separates from sheep and goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goat on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. A lot of Christians, you know, when they read this, they stop right there saying, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. I can inherit the kingdom. But then they stop reading the rest. So you can go to the next part. But then Jesus explained why they can inherit the kingdom of God. Because he's saying, for I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. and I was in prison, you came to me, and then, and a lot of different things. And then it says that, then the righteous person then answered, asked the Lord and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see a stranger and welcome you? And when did we clothe you when you're naked? Oh, when did we actually visit you in prison? Then in verse 40, it says, the next one, it said that the king will answer him saying, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me. Then the next part is, it tells the other side of the people, Jesus tells the others that, depart from me, you're cursed with eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. And it says that because you, when I was hungry, you didn't give me food, you didn't give me drink, you didn't give me, you didn't clothe me. And then it says that if you didn't do it to the least of the brothers, and you didn't do it to me, and this will go away into the eternal punishment, but the righteous in the eternal life. And there's a book from a Hong Kong, a famous Hong Kong pastor, Pastor So. He wrote a book, and his name, the book name is called From Darkness to Light. And then he said that, he asked a question. He's saying that if you have a chance that you can actually see the book of life during the judgment, what would you, and then you have to go through an exercise, and then you have to write down 10 items that God, when you face Jesus, 10 items Jesus will commend you. He will say that, good and faithful servant, good job. And you have to write down 10 items that Jesus will say, man, you didn't do too well. Can you write down those items? Have you think about that? I think every one of us needs to take that chance, this time, to actually reflect ourselves and see, and that day, what will be those items that God will say that you are doing a good job, and what are those that are not doing not too well? As we, I'm going to close because it's getting late. I want to share this, just to summarize a couple of things. Okay, first, the First Timothy 6 is another lesson that Apostle Paul wants to say the same thing. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertain of riches, but on God, who richly provide us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. So I want to conclude with, just to summarize what we talked about today. The next slide. Okay. Okay, so we need to just think about with a different view, looking into the future, in the eternal life. Things that we need to realize is, first thing, we need to know that all the resource, whether it's wealth, it's power, it's fame, or talent, everything comes from God. The second part is that we are just steward. We are not the master. Jesus is our master and Lord. He's the one that owns everything. We also have to understand our strength and our weakness. We need to identify what is our talents, what is our gifts. And then we need to be a shrewd stewards and have accountabilities while we're serving God. We need to be able to know what is our strength and use it to serve God faithfully. And the last thing that we need to do is we need to be humble. We need to be generous and be ready to share and also serve God faithfully. So as we are, as just we said, as I said in the beginning of the sermon, that as we are reflecting our, this is the last Sunday of the year, many of the people will just, you know, use this time to reflect what have we done in the last year and also set our new resolution. But let us remind ourselves that we need to pay more attention, and we need to invest in our spiritual life, using our gifts and our resource to invest in the spiritual life more than anything else. We need to be a faithful and a shrewd steward. We need to identify what we can do best, our talents, and use it to serve God. Whether it's little things or big things, we still need to do it seriously and serve God faithfully. Our church theme for 2006 is transforming your life and start with your heart. We just pray that the Holy Spirit will actually help us to be more submitted to the Lord and serve Him more faithfully. And it started with our hearts. So we hope that we can use this time to reflect and really think about the teaching. And let's all bow and pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for giving us this opportunity. At the end of the year, we have a chance to study the Word. Father, we just want to give thanks to you that you give us so much blessings. And you also place us in this place. You place us in the United States and give us freedom, giving us rich, giving us peace. Father, we just want to thank you for that. But Father, we just also help us that your Holy Spirit would touch every one of us and use the time to really think about how do we become a faithful servant of yours and be able to understand our talents that we have and our gifts that you're giving to us to serve you faithfully. Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will convict us, not just enjoying the great gifts that and blessings that you have given to us, but also be able to remember what we need to do and use our resource wisely for your kingdom. I pray that you bless every one of us so that one day at the end when we face you, we know what is our gifts, and then we know we all will hear from you that good and faithful servants, well done. Father, we just pray that you help us to continue to strive to be better. And we pray all this in our presence, Jesus' name. Amen.